जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरि वरधारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरि वरधारी यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरवन चारी यमुना तीरवन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरि वरधारी जय राधा श्याम सुंदर राधा श्याम सुंदर राधे जय जय प्रभुपाद 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 जय जय प्रभुपाद ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्रीमद हिस्द्वैन ग्रेस अभय चरणारविंद भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद की जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्रीमद हिस्द्वैन ग्रेस भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती ठाकुर प्रभुपाद की नामाचार्य श्रील हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरि गोवर्धन की ब्रज भूमि श्री वृंदावन धाम की पुरुषोत्तम क्षेत्र श्री जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की गंगमयी की यमुनामयी की भक्ति देवी की तुलसी देवी की कलियुग पावन हरिनाम संकीर्तन की हरे कृष्ण महामंत्र की ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरांग ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाकया चक्षुरन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देहं श्रीगुरोः श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातम् सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजना सहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगणा ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्णकरुणासिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांता राधा कांता नमोस्तु ते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नम ओं विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिन् इति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणी जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। Hare Krishna. My humble obeisances to all the devotees. I seek blessings from His Holiness Satchinandana Swami Maharaj, and I wish to express my deep and profound gratitude to Maharaj for organizing this amazing retreat. Last 3 days, 3.5 days have been so enlivening and absorbing and uplifting to our consciousness. And it is not that easy to just keep the enthusiasm of several devotees on from right from 5 a.m. till 8:30 p.m. So Maharaj is so energetic, always joyful, always happy and blissful, with a smile on his face. He is guiding us how to do japa early in the morning. Then he is there present throughout all the sessions, chanting kirtans, interacting with devotees. So unless someone has great spiritual strength, one may not be able to continuously inspire others like this. I was speaking 3 levels of Vaishnavas on the first day, if you remember, the second session, evening session. One who inspires others to chant the holy names of the Lord is very exalted. So Maharaj is inspiring us to chant the holy names of the Lord. Yesterday evening, Surabhi Kund Kirtan was like a life-transforming experience for many of us. Some of us are thinking, why did it stop? It could have continued for a longer time. Oh, 8:30 already. So maybe if it has been, it was extended, then we would be more blissful. So it's very nice, very, very grateful to Maharaj for creating this great ambience. On the first day, we discussed from Srimad Bhagavatam, the story of Akrura and the way he entered Vrindavan, the mood in which he entered Vrindavan, and several lessons that we can apply in our own lives, seeing his example. On the second day, we discussed the story of Dhruva Maharaj and saw some parallels between Dhruva's life and Sadhaka's life, and meditated on some of the important lessons for a sadhaka. On the third day, we discussed the glories of another illustrious personality from Srimad Bhagavatam, that is Uddhava. Uddhava himself underwent another profound transformation in his heart by visiting Vrindavan, by witnessing Krishnasya Ekanta Bhavam in action in Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda Mata, Gopis of Vrindavan, and Srimati Radharani. So, all these wonderful personalities of Srimad Bhagavatam are giving us great and profound lessons for a sadhaka. And one thing that is common amongst all of them, if you have noticed, is, can anyone say? Let's have a little interaction. What is one Vaishnava quality that we have noticed in all these three personalities? We are meditating on the activities of three personalities since 3 days. Akrura, Uddhava, Dhruva. Of course, we discuss many other examples also. Dainya, humility. Yes, Akrura was so humble. He was extremely humble to get this opportunity to come to Vrindavan, be with Krishna and Balaram. He was grateful even to Kamsa also. Secondly, Dhruva, although he was a bit carried away in the fight, he was so humble enough to hear the advice, suggestion of Swayambhu Manu, and he humbled himself in front of Kuvera. Then thirdly, we have seen Uddhava, seeing the wonderful display of deep Krishna prema in the Vrajavasis, he humbled himself. In such a humble state of mind, he aspired to be a blade of grass in Vrindavan Dham. And we also discussed many other examples of devotees like Brahma, Srila Prabhupada, where humility is one of the foremost qualities in all these personalities. That made their lives recorded in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. And one more thing is, we discussed several glories of holy name in all these 3 days. We have been hearing from Maharaj also. Yesterday morning, the class that Maharaj gave in the morning, describing the meaning of Hare Krishna Mahamantra, and different levels of approaching Hare Krishna Mahamantra. First level is to focus on the sound, to concentrate on the sound. Secondly, to understand that this mantra is non-different from Radha and Krishna personalities. Third level is to make an endeavor to make a relationship, connect with them through a spiritual devotional relationship with Radha and Krishna, with Sambandha. So it's our great fortune to nourish ourselves with this devotional explanations coming from deep realizations of practice of more than half a century or more than that. Hare Krishna Maharaj. Hare Krishna. Today we'll discuss the story of another great devotee from Srimad Bhagavatam. This devotee has not taken shelter of, quote unquote, shelter of the holy names of the Lord. He did not chant the holy name of the Lord. But this devotee is a great example of Sharanagati. If somebody takes shelter of Krishna, even without chanting the name of the Lord, Krishna is so, so merciful to bestow his profuse blessings upon such devotee and protect him from all calamities. Ajamil chanted the holy names of the Lord, but not indicating the Lord. Ajamil chanted Narayana, Narayana, Narayana just to call his son. But Lord Narayana responded to his anxious and helpless appeals. In this material world, we may invest our emotions and energy in relationships with people who may not have intention or ability to reciprocate with us, right? Any personal experiences? Oftentimes we invest in relationships with people who may not have the intention to reciprocate with us, or who may not have the ability to reciprocate with us. Here is Ajamil, who invested all his emotions and love and affection in his relationship with his little son, Narayana, who never had the ability to reciprocate. He's a small child, the other day we were discussing. And in the 9th canto of Bhagavatam, we saw the example of Pururava Maharaj, who invested his emotions and energy in another relationship with an apsara named Urvasi, who never had the intention to reciprocate with his love. He's running behind her. Urvasi, please, don't give me up. But she has no attraction. She has no intention to reciprocate with him. I have spent some time with you. Fine, then, enough. I'm a heavenly damsel. I'm not obliged to be with you whole life. But he's obsessed with her. So she did not have the intention to reciprocate with Pururava's love. And this little child did not have the ability to reciprocate with Ajamil's love. So who has the ability and intention both? When we connect with this person, he has both ability and intention. Unlimited ability and deep intention. Profound compassion to reciprocate with our love. Only Krishna. Only Krishna has the ability and intention to reciprocate with our emotions to the highest degree. That we can see in several pastimes of Srimad Bhagavatam. Although Ajamil did not call the Lord specifically, he was calling his son, still the Lord felt that he chanted some name which is my name, and my name is not different from me. Therefore, I must reciprocate. Putana came to Krishna dressing herself like a trustworthy and beautiful mother. Right? Her intention was very malicious. She wanted to kill Krishna with her poisonous milk. Her attire was like that of a mother, but her attitude was not at all motherly. But Krishna reciprocated with her attire and actions and ignored her attitude. We keep hearing, Krishna is bhavagrahi. He is not impressed with the magnitude of your services. He is impressed with the attitude of your service. We keep hearing this, which is correct. However, in Putana's case, opposite happened. Krishna ignored her attitude and reciprocated with her attire. How can someone please Krishna with attire? But Krishna is so desperate to give his mercy, especially when he is in Vrindavan, Krishna is especially merciful. Krishna Chakravarti writes in the 10th canto, 12th chapter commentary. He says, in Vrindavan, Krishna is especially merciful. Even when Aghasur came to completely annihilate the entire cowherd community, still Krishna gave Aghasur liberation. This extreme degree of compassion, this extreme display of mercy of Krishna, you can see in Vrindavan Dham. So Krishna gave the position of a motherly nurse to mother, to Putana in the spiritual world. Why? He was a 6 days old baby lying in a cradle in Nanda Maharaj's home. And when Putana came, for a moment Krishna thought, Rohini Mata came? Her attire resembled Rohini Mata's attire. Rohini Mata, not different from Yashoda Mata in terms of loving affection for Krishna. Sometimes Yashoda Mata gives her milk to Balaram. Sometimes Rohini Mata gives her milk to Krishna. Two mothers are taking care of two babies in Vrindavan. So, and because Krishna, for a moment, he is never bewildered, but somehow when he is absorbed in the mood of an infant baby, he thought that Rohini Mata has come. For a second, So he thought, he closed his eyes. Why he closed his eyes, acharyas give at least some 20-30 reasons. We will not get into that now. But he thought that one of those thoughts when he closed his eyes was, how can I give her mercy? I must have some reason to give her mercy. Okay, she came in the form of this mother, acting like a mother, trying to lift me up from this cradle and then giving her own milk, means I can show some mercy on her. Then Krishna gave her position of a motherly nurse. Padbhyam bhakta hridistabhyam vandyabhyam loka vanditai angam yasyah samakramya bhagavanapi tatstanam yatu dhanyapi sasvarga bhavapajana nigatim krishna bhukta stanakshirah kimugavonu matarah padbhyam bhakta hridistabhyam vandyabhyam loka vanditai. The lotus feet of the Supreme Lord Krishna are worshipped by those who are worshipped by all the residents in all planets. Means those who are accustomed to receive worship from their fans, their devotees, start worshipping Krishna's lotus feet. That is Krishna's glory. But just to get a trace of the darshan of Krishna's lotus feet, to get an opportunity to touch Krishna's lotus feet, or even to get a glimpse of those lotus feet within one's heart is so rare, even for those sages who perform tapasya for thousands of years. But Putana did not get darshan of Krishna's lotus feet in her heart. Putana did not just get the touch of Krishna's lotus feet with her hands. Putana got the embrace of Krishna. Angam yasyah samakramya bhagavan api tatstanam. Means Krishna completely embraced Putana. And Krishna is not leaving her only. Putana says, leave me child. Don't, you don't have to take my milk anymore. I am not inclined to give you milk. Just get out of here. But Krishna is embracing her. Not leaving only. Although she is screaming, he is not leaving. Such great mercy. Angam yasyah samakramya bhagavan api tatstanam yatu dhanyapi sasvarga bhavapajana nigatim krishna bhukta stanakshirah kimugavonu matarah. If this is the destination that Krishna has given to Putana for imitating the activities of a mother and giving poisonous milk, just imagine what kind of mercy Krishna must have bestowed upon someone who lovingly offered their milk to Krishna, the gopis of Vrindavan, motherly gopis, and also the cows of Vrindavan. You can only imagine their good fortune. Kimu gavonu mataraha. Uddhava, whose story we discussed yesterday, he was wondering at this grace of Krishna. Uddhava was thinking. Aho bakiyam stanakalakutam jighamsaya payayatapya sadhvi lebhe gatim dhatruchitam tatonyam kamvadayalum sharanam rajema. If Krishna has given the position of a motherly nurse to Putana, who came with a malicious intention to offer her poisonous milk to Krishna and kill him, Can any other personality in this entire cosmic manifestation display such amount of mercy? Kamvadayalum sharanam rajama. Whose shelter should I take? Who can be more merciful than him? That is the expression of Uddhava. In Ajamil's case, Krishna thought, although he did not call me, he uttered some syllables which put together are like one of my names. So the name matched. Although the mood is different, he's calling his son, the name is matching. Therefore, I will reciprocate. So Krishna came voluntarily and protected Ajamil. In Putana's case, although Putana's attitude is nowhere close to a devotee's attitude, Her attire matched. Krishna reciprocated. Krishna showed some mercy. Here, the name that Ajamil uttered matched with Krishna's name. So Krishna showed mercy. And here, the attire, motherly attire of Putana matched with Krishna's mother. So Krishna showed mercy. Similarly, there's an example of another devotee in the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. This devotee did not dress himself like a devotee of Krishna or mother of Krishna. This devotee did not chant some name of Krishna unintentionally. This devotee described some qualities of Krishna that are similar to Krishna's qualities. He described some good qualities of a great person that matched with Krishna's qualities. Krishna thought, my qualities matched, I must reciprocate. Your name matched, your attire matched, your qualities matched. Therefore, I'll show some mercy. And the devotee is Gajendra. He did not dress himself up like a Vrajavasi. He did not chant the name Narayana or any other holy name. He was in a deep difficulty, great difficulty. 1,000 years he tried to come out of the difficulty because of this crocodile. But he could not. Then he thought, there must be somebody who must be having the capacity to protect me. Who must be having the compassion to protect me. There must be someone who is cognizant, who is aware of everything that is happening in the case of every single living entity. There must be some supreme controller, Ishvara, some boss, whoever that may be. I request him to come and protect me. Who is that person? He doesn't know. He thought, that person must be having these qualities. He's Ishvara, he's the controller, he's the master, he's the proprietor, he's the enjoyer. He's merciful, he's like a father, he's the source of all scriptures, he's this, he's that. He's just glorifying all these qualities. Nobody responded. Some of these qualities were present in some devatas also. They said, he never called us, so we'll not go. But Krishna thought, all these qualities are present in me. He never called you. These qualities are present in me. Then this prayer is applicable to me only. So let me go and protect Gajendra. The Lord has come. Bhakta paya bhujanga garudamani trailokya rakshamani gopi lochana chatakam budamani saundarya mudramani yakantamani rukmini ghanakucha dvandvaika bhoshamani shreyo deva shikhamani rdishatuno Gopala Chodamani Bhakta Paya Bhujanga Garudamani. Whenever the devotees are in some difficulty, Krishna immediately descends sitting on the back of Garuda. He looks like a Garudamani. He looks like a blue sapphire, glowing blue sapphire on a golden mountain. Garuda is like a golden mountain and Krishna is like a blue sapphire mountain. So Krishna sits on the back of Garuda. Good contrast, gold and blue. Those are into deity dressing, we'll understand all this contrast, color contrast. So he descended and protected Gajendra. That is the glory of the Lord. The Lord, somehow or the other, he tries to find some direct reason or indirect reason to show some mercy on a devotee. That is one of his topmost qualities, as we have been discussing. So, now let's discuss the story of Gajendra in greater detail. I'm not planning to come. I did not notice this watch till yesterday. Otherwise, I would have been a little more self-controlled in maintaining time last 2-3 days. I saw it yesterday only. Yesterday it just came. Oh, it came yesterday only? Okay, fine. Good. I was asking, what is the time now? Okay. So, I'll discuss as much as humanly possible in the next half an hour or so. And whatever is remaining in Gajendra's story, we'll discuss in the evening. Then I'll take some questions also. So, in the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Sukadeva Goswami begins his narration. of Gajendra's episode. Why? Parikshit Maharaj asked him. Sukadeva Goswami was discussing different aspects of different manvantaras. First manvantara, Swayambhu manvantara. What all happened in Swayambhu mantra. Then second manvantara, third manvantara, fourth manvantara. So he came to the description of fourth manvantara and he just mentioned that in the fourth manvantara, Lord Hari protected an elephant named Gajendra from the jaws of a crocodile. Then he was about to go to fifth manvantara. Parikshit Maharaj caught him. Hey, please don't go to the fifth manvantara now. Please describe that story of Gajendra in greater detail. Then Sukadeva Goswami began. This is how Bhagavatam is. And after Gajendra's episode, you will forget, Are, which manvantara am I? Therefore, we need to see the connections and flow of Bhagavatam also. Sometimes we will miss the chronology while getting caught up in minute details. That's good. As I said in the first session itself, this Bhagavatam and Krishna Katha are like ocean. Sometimes you swim in this direction, sometimes in that direction, sometimes in this direction. Wherever you swim, you will only find nectar. So even if you miss the chronology, not an issue. As long as we are Krishna conscious while reading Bhagavatam. So he asked, I want to know the story of Gajendra in greater detail. Then Sukadeva Goswami narrated. In the upper planets, there is a region with a beautiful mountain that has three prominent peaks. That mountain is called Trikuta Mountain. This Trikuta Mountain is on the shore of a milk ocean. Sukadeva Goswami describes the beauty of Trikuta Mountain in great detail. Now we don't have time to discuss the beauty of this mountain. The mountain is so beautiful that even heavenly devatas and heavenly apsaras come there to have some retreats, not spiritual retreats. They want to have their own pleasure pastimes. Their own sense gratificatory activities they do in the caves of this Trikuta Mountain, in the gardens and the valleys of this Trikuta Mountain. This is the difference between materialistic people or sense gratifiers and devotees. Whenever devotees see such beautiful ambience around them, they feel like sitting there and chanting the Hare Krishna mantra or discussing some Krishna katha. Right, this GRC, this Govardhan Retreat Center, has such a peaceful, serene ambience for almost 10 days I was here. And the Govardhan Shila is there, and this nice lawns and beautiful buildings and nighttime with beautiful lights. So this kind of ambience induces an inspiration to take shelter of Krishna, to chant the holy names of the Lord, to discuss Srimad Bhagavatam, to associate with devotees in a more Krishna conscious way. So when devotees who are trained to cultivate Krishna consciousness see a beautiful ambience, that will inspire them to go deeper into their own bhakti, their own connection with Krishna. But when that training is not there, when that inspiration is not there, materialistic people who don't have that training in Krishna consciousness want to use a very beautiful serene ambience for their sense gratificatory activities. That's the contrast. So these heavenly devatas and apsaras are coming to this Trikuta Mountain region for sense gratification, for having their own private space to have their kind of pleasure pastimes. But Vaikuntha has a much, much greater ambience in terms of the surroundings, the flowers and the gardens and the trees. Such wonderful atmosphere of Vaikuntha induces Vaikuntha Vasis to glorify Krishna. You see, Maitri Muni says, Vaimanika salalanascharitani shashvat gayanti yatra shamalah kshapanani bhartu antarjalenu vikasan madhumadhavinam gandhena khandita dhiyopyanilam kshipantah. All these Vaikuntha Vasis have their own private airplanes made of gold. They have their concerts and they're traveling in this private airplanes in a such nice ambience. But they are so absorbed in Krishna that passionate desires for sense enjoyment will not enter their mind only. Private airplane and secluded place, very peaceful, nice ambience. And they have their concerts right in front of them. They have seclusion. But the seclusion and soothing ambience will not induce sense enjoyment or sense gratificatory desires in their minds. Why? Krishnatmanam naraja adadhurutsma yadhihi. Krishnatmanam, their minds are completely absorbed in Krishna. Naraja adadhur, passionate desires for sense enjoyment will not even enter their mind. Then what do? In such a beautiful ambience. Gayanti yatra shamalahakshapana nibhartuhu. This is to glorify Lord Hari's activities. So in short, the beautiful ambience of Trikota mountain region induced sense gratificatory desires in the visitors who came there, including the heavenly planet, heavenly residents. But the Vaikuntha ambience or Vrindavan ambience induces Krishna conscious desires in visitors there. So we need to look forward for places which are serene, which are in mode of goodness. But don't just stop there. What are we doing there is more important. Sense gratification or Krishna bhajan. So for that we need training. We need inspiration from great souls. Let this beautiful ambience be utilized to do some devotional activity, not some material activity. So anyways, that is the Trikuta mountain region. We'll not go deep into that now. So Gajendra was living in that Trikuta mountain region. Gajendra is associated with so many elephants. So many wives and children and assistants and ministers. Gajendra. Gaja means elephant, Indra means king. He's the king of all elephants. He's the king of the entire forest there. Gajendra had everything in life. He had physical strength, sensual strength, strength of associates around, power, influence, name, fame, prestige. Gajendra is so powerful that all the other forest animals were surviving because of Gajendra's grace. Because Gajendra mercifully allowed them to live, they are surviving. Otherwise, if Gajendra angrily glances at them, they will just die. Gajendra could even kill them also. Gajendra is so powerful, all the animals are respectful to Gajendra and they run away from Gajendra. He had all access to good associates, loving associates in the form of family members, wives and children. Whatever a typical materialistic human being aspires to have in one's life, Gajendra had. Power, wealth, influence. Wealth not necessarily in terms of rupees and dollars, but animals, for them, there's a different calculation of wealth. Gajendra had that. That is like so many people around him, power, enough food to eat, no obstructions. Sometimes animals are obstructed by human beings in their attempts to enjoy. But Gajendra had no such obstruction. So Gajendra had everything. So Gajendra entered in the Trikuta mountain region. There's a garden called Ritumath garden. Gajendra entered that garden area. In that garden area, there is a lake called, name is not given, there's a lake in the Ritumath garden. So Gajendra wandered in the beautiful forest region of Trikuta mountain and then he entered this lake just to take some fresh bath. And Gajendra just sucked some water from his trunk and started showering that water on his wives and family members. It takes some effort. But Gajendra did not realize that effort. Because Gajendra was so absorbed in this activity of showing his love and affection upon his family members and friends and children, he did not realize that it is a difficulty. When we are absorbed in something, we will not notice the passage of time. We will not even recognize an inherent difficulty in it. like when the kirtan is absorbing, like yesterday evenings. Although physically somebody must have been tired, they had to walk all the way there after hearing some exhaustive katha for more than 3 hours in the afternoon in sun. Still, devotees are so absorbed because that's what our Damodar Ashtakam Prabhu, Smita Krishna Prabhu, and Sachinandan Swami Maharaj, and Gaur Krishna Prabhu, all of them have created with their melodious, mesmerizing, and more than all of the devotional kirtans, chanting with heart. So, everybody is so absorbed. And as these great devotees are chanting, leading kirtan, one by one, lamps are being lit. Layer by layer, right side of Sarubhikund, four layers, four steps. Each step has at least some 30-40 lamps. Like, I was thinking at least some 700-800 lamps, almost 1,000 lamps must be there on all three sides, and on this side also, altar side also, and on top of that building also, and the domes also, and the little hillock also. So, hundreds and hundreds of lamps are glowing with the background music. So even if somebody is physically tired, heart is completely satisfied and wanting more, anyur, like that. Govardhan says anyur here, but devotees are saying anyur, we want more kirtan. So basically when we get absorbed in something, either in a material way or spiritual way, we don't realize the physical exhaustion or even passage of time. We don't realize that time is passing. We don't realize that body is getting exhausted because there's an absorption, moment of absorption. In a material way also it happens. Gajendra has been a great devotee in the past life, but Gajendra forgot that. At this moment, Gajendra was thinking that I am an elephant. I am the king of all the elephants. I am the boss or the master of this entire Trikuta mountain region. All animals are under my protection or my grace or my rule. These are my wives, these are my children, these are my friends. Gajendra is so absorbed in that identity of being an elephant that Gajendra forgot that I am a part and parcel of Krishna. Gajendra forgot that I am a devotee of Krishna. When we are so absorbed in our identity, a typical material identity, it could be identity of being a brahmachari or a grahastha or a brahmana or a kshatriya or a teacher or a student or a doctor or a patient or an Indian or an American or a man or a woman. When we are so absorbed in these external identities, we may forget that our original spiritual, eternal, constitutional identity is Ayinanda Tanujagankaram, servant of Krishna. That's what His Holiness Sachinandana Swami Maharaj was reminding us at Govardhan Valley, I think on the second day, or first day, I think. Identity kit. All of us are carrying this identity kit. So, to come out of that box of identity kit, Maharaj was teaching us, we need to undergo a change of attitude. Attitude transformation exercise. In terms of relinquishing these identities, or at least for a moment, or during the japa time, keeping aside all these identities and designations and identifying ourselves only as a servant of Krishna, then we can make that connection with Krishna. Very, very deep and finer nuances of taking shelter of the holy names of the Lord are highlighted in the last 3 days by Maharaj. I'm very grateful for this experience, lifetime experience. So there are small, finer nuances that a typical struggling sadhaka can conveniently forget. Despite being aware of it, somewhere in the subconscious mind, but what surfaces is only forgetfulness, not that awareness. Unless it is emphasized repeatedly. Yes, you are a servant of Krishna. You are not any other identity. You have no other designation All these so-called designations and identities that we are maintaining since time immemorial for millions and billions of lifetimes are temporary identities. Because of your intense absorption in those temporary identities only, you are taking birth again and again. Please embrace your original, eternal, spiritual identity as a servant of Krishna. That has to be reminded to the conditioned soul or a struggling sadhaka thousands and millions of times. Otherwise it just doesn't enter. Why? Because the consciousness is covered by thick layers of false ego and material consciousness. To penetrate through all these layers of false ego and communicate to the soul, my dear sir, you are a servant of Krishna, requires so much of purity of consciousness. Only in the association of very exalted devotees, we can remember it. We can be consciously aware of it, especially while chanting the holy names of Krishna. So, Gajendra was so absorbed in this identity. I am an elephant. I am the king of all elephants. All these animals are under my rule. And this Trikota mountain region is my home. This huge body is my body. And everything that is connected to this body is my possession. Aham mameti conception. Gajendra was absorbed in this identity. Why many people are practically every conditioned soul doesn't remember past lives? One thing is, yes, Krishna gives that forgetfulness. Mattaha spritir jnanam apohanam cha. If he remembers past life, there is identity crisis. All these are correct. But if you look at it from another angle, why we don't remember our past lives? Because we are absorbed in our identities in this current life. That absorption is so deep-rooted. I belong to this family. These are my parents. These are my siblings. These are my associates. This is my country. This is my state. This is my language. This is my mother tongue. These are my tastes. There is complete absorption in this current new identity, so much so that conditioned souls don't remember their past identities. Previous lives. Gajendra forgot. He has been a great devotee named Indrajyamana Maharaj in his past life. He gave up everything in life and took shelter of a small forest and started worshipping Lord Hari. Somehow, unfortunately, he became an elephant now. But he forgot. Indrajyamana Maharaj forgot that he was Indrajyamana Maharaj, a Vaishnav. Now he is absorbed in his identity as an elephant. And in this new identity, there is so much pleasure. There is wealth, influence, sense enjoyment, followers, dhanam, janam, sundarim, kavita, all are there for Gajendra. Whatever a typical conditioned human being can aspire for is there in Gajendra's life also. And Gajendra came to this water body and started happily enjoying. This is the power of Maya. Maya, you know what it does? One thing makes us feel happy and satisfied and content in whatever terrible identity we may be in. Secondly, when we think that we are self-sufficient, happy, enjoying, life is going on very smoothly, this is how I should be till the fag end of my life, I have no problems. Suddenly Maya puts a problem. Because Maya is a devotee of Krishna. Maya is an energy of Krishna. On one hand, in reciprocation with the conditioned soul's desire, Maya has to facilitate the sense gratificatory enjoyment of that conditioned soul. Maya will do that. On the other hand, Maya is also a devotee of Krishna. Therefore, to enable and inspire a conditioned soul to take shelter of Krishna, Maya will arrange frustration in life also. Maya has to arrange frustrations in our attempts to enjoy in this world. Without that frustration, we cannot take shelter of Krishna. Some great souls, without any frustration, they can take shelter of Krishna. Whether in happiness or distress, they always take shelter of Krishna. But for most people, unless there is a very, very unpleasant happening in their lives, they can't take shelter of the Lord. They think they are the controllers. When they face a calamity, that reminds them, you are not the controller. If you are the controller, why are you undergoing this health crisis? Why are you undergoing this financial crisis? Why are you undergoing this relationship crisis? Why are you undergoing this identity crisis? My dear sir, you are not the controller. That is the job of Maya also. Maya gives 100 signals like this, 1,000 signals, millions of signals like this. There are hundreds of experiences in any typical conditions of human being's life to realize oneself as not a controller. I am not a controller. But still this conditioned soul is continuing to think, I'm a controller, I'm an enjoyer. I can control the situation. Krishna is the Ishvara. We are not Ishvara. When we think we are Ishvara, we have a disease. You know what is the disease? In Srimad Bhagavatam language, the disease is called Ishamani syndrome. You can read 10th canto of Bhagavatam, specifically 24th chapter in one shloka. Sukadeva Goswami says, Indra had a disease and the disease is called Ishamani syndrome. Ishamani means I am Isha. I consider myself as Isha controller. That's my disease. This is called Ishamani syndrome. And most people experience this disease. In this material world, except a few rare souls, most people are afflicted by this disease. They are going, I have fever, I have cough, I have COVID, I have this, I have that. Yeah, all these diseases are there, but there's a bigger disease. More dangerous than all these diseases. All these small diseases, whether it is cancer or heart attack or fever or cold or whatever it is, big or small diseases on the bodily plane, they will affect this body. They will affect maybe one limb of the body only, that's all. But the bigger disease that has been affecting a conditioned soul since time immemorial till now and probably for my several lifetimes ahead is this Ishamani syndrome disease. I am the controller. I am the enjoyer. I am the proprietor. I am the master. I am the creator. I am independent. I am God. This is Ishamani syndrome. So, Maya's one of the most important services is to give some frustration in our attempts to enjoy this world and remind us, you are not Isha. Krishna is Isha. You know what you are supposed to do? You should chant, Namam Ishwaram Satchidananda Rupam Damodarashtakam. The way Damodarashtakam Prabhu sang yesterday, Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So we need to chant like that. You are Ishwara, I am not Ishwara. I should pray, Krishna, please engage me in your service. Hare Krishna Mahamantra, I am singing so that you can engage me in your service. I am not Isha, you are Isha. I thought I am Isha till now. Now I am not Isha. I am understanding this now. So all the calamities presented by Maya, material energy in this world, are great facilities, great opportunities for us to realize we are not the controllers and take shelter of Krishna. That's why Kunti Maharani is saying, Vipadaha santutah shashvat tatra tatra jagadguru bhavato darshanam yasyat apunar bhava darshanam. So Kunti Maharani is saying, I want more calamities. From her perspective, she says, calamity gives me an opportunity to see you, my dear Lord. I want to see you. She is a very great elevated Vaishnavi. But from a conditioned soul's perspective, calamity gives us an opportunity to remember we are not the controllers. Situations are not in our control. Our response is in our control. And the best way to respond to a situation, whether it is happy or distressful, is to take shelter of Krishna. A happy moment came in life, Krishna is so merciful. A distressful moment came in our life, still Krishna is merciful. He wants to purify me. But a typical conditioned soul thinks, happy moment came in my life because of my efforts. Distressful moment came in life, God is not merciful. Or God doesn't exist. Why God doesn't exist? Because I am undergoing some difficulty. Are God is there only to destroy your difficulties or what? He has no other job. So people think that God means he has to destroy my difficulties. He has no other job profile. As if he is free. He has to do so many pastimes. In the spiritual world, still out of his kindness, he is descending in this planet as multiple incarnations to protect us, to inspire us to go there. So, anyways, we will not discuss about the challenging spirit of people. Krishna himself says, Nama, he says, what is that shloka? I am not obliged. Naham prakashah sarvasya yoga maya samavrtah. I am not obliged to prove my existence in front of someone who challenges my existence. It's okay. Of course, he's merciful. He still stays as Paramatma in their hearts. But let's focus on Gajendra now. So Gajendra is completely absorbed in this identity. So as I said sometime back, Maya makes us absorb in our identity in reciprocation with our desire to enjoy this world. But Maya also gives us sufficient facilities to realize that we are not the controllers by presenting some calamities. Whenever we think life is going on very smoothly, let it go on like this forever. That's the time where Maya presents some obstacle. That's what happened in Gajendra's life also. Suddenly, as Gajendra was happily enjoying in these waters, a crocodile came and caught his leg. Gajendra thought, I can manage this, not an issue. So Gajendra tried to release himself from the crocodile jaw. 5 minutes passed, nothing happened. 10 minutes passed, Gajendra could not release himself. Gajendra thought, I think I should not be mild with this crocodile. I need to be a little more aggressive. It's unnecessarily wasting my time. 1 hour passed in this struggle. Gajendra could not release himself. 1 day passed. 1 week passed. 1 month passed. Gajendra is unable to release himself from this crocodile's jaws. Sometimes when a problem comes in our lives, we think we can handle it. Or even if I don't handle it, problem will go away. It's okay. Agama payinu anitya. Tam sthiti kshasva bharata. It will come and go. It's transient. It is not permanent. It's okay. It will come and go. Not an issue. You may think like that. Some problems actually are temporary. But not every problem. Sometimes a problem comes in our life. We have to live with that problem whole life. Probably life after life also. If you go to a doctor, he'll say, I take this medicine, in 1 week you'll be cured. But if you go to a doctor in another circumstances, you have to live with it whole life. Every day you have to take this tablet. Every month you have to come for clinic, for checkup. Some problems are permanent, right, in this world, till we take shelter of Krishna. Right? They exist whole life. So Gajendra was thinking that this crocodile will leave me in a few minutes or sometime. Crocodile also will get bored with me, no problem. So, but crocodile was not leaving only. Some problems are perpetual, they continue to exist. They are going on and on. And we try to put some solution there. And the solution is more problematic than the problem itself. As Prahlad Maharaj says, Dukkha aushadam tadapi dukkha matadhyaham. Dukkha aushadam. The remedy to your problem is more problematic than the problem itself. Right, oftentimes. So Gajendra is trying. And if Gajendra is thinking, maybe my family members will help. Just now I bathed them by sucking water from my trunk. I was just showering on them. So I think they may help. They could not help. They wanted to help, definitely. But they could not help. And children could not help. Friends could not help. They're concerned about Gajendra. Just because you have concern for somebody, that does not mean you have the capacity to protect them. Things are within your concern sometimes. But things may not be within your influence, within your capacity to resolve. So they're concerned about Gajendra. They're compassionate on Gajendra, but they don't have the ability to protect Gajendra. So they are all there on the shore of this lake, waiting, when will this fight end? When will we go back with our dear associate Gajendra? Nothing is happening. if this crocodile had caught this leg of Gajendra on the land, probably Gajendra would have trampled him. Even if Gajendra did not have the ability to trample this crocodile, there are 100 elephants there. 1,000 elephants probably, we don't know the exact number. So many elephants are there. All of them would have trampled this crocodile and made him a chutney. Right? It would have happened. But nothing of that sort has happened. What is the lesson here? Prabhupada writes very beautiful point in the purport. 8th canto, 2nd chapter, you can go through later. Homework. Prabhupada says, just because you are powerful at one place, that does not mean you become powerful or influential at another place also. Gajendra is definitely so powerful on the land. That's what we have seen so far in the past time. But when Gajendra entered water, it's weak. Gajendra is weak. Let's not be proud of our capacity. You may be able to solve some problems, not all problems. You may be very powerful and influential at one place, not everywhere. Some people may adore you and embrace you and admire you. Some people will envy you also. They're jealous of you. They're jealous towards you also. They may take you for granted also. They may see you cheaply also. They may focus on certain facets of your personality that are so humiliating to us also. Both are required. Because this world, this body is meant for what? Nindanastava satkara nyakara artham kalevaram. This body is meant to experience nindana, criticism. Stava, praise. Satkara, honor. Nyakara, dishonor, neglect, indifference, insensitivity. So this body is made to experience all these dualities in life. Just because we are honored at one place, that does not mean we are honored at all places. Only Krishna is honored everywhere. And in the material world, even Krishna is not honored many places. So, just because Gajendra was powerful on the land, that does not mean Gajendra can rule in the water also. That much we need to understand. We need to understand how strong we are. And we should, more important than that, we need to understand how weak we are also. Just because we are strong in some areas, have these strengths. How many weaknesses do we have, my dear sir? So let's be aware of that also. So Gajendra was weak, becoming more and more weak, not getting food, getting exhausted. 2 months passed, 3 months passed, 1 year passed, 10 years passed, 1 century passed, 1,000 years passed. Nothing is happening. Gajendra is trying to pull the crocodile outside water, and the crocodile is trying to pull Gajendra inside water. So this tug of war is happening. Pulling and pushing and pulling and pushing is happening constantly. My God. And all the devatas are watching. They have never watched this kind of match. People watch cricket match, hockey match, maybe chess game. And they are, who will win, who will win? They're very curious. Who will win? But here, a match between a crocodile and an elephant from the upper planets, all the devatas are watching. Who will win? Who will win? They're not doing anything. So they're just watching. And Gajendra thought, nobody's there to help me. Elephants are just crying there. They cannot help me. Some people are concerned about us, but they cannot help us. Some people have the capacity to help us, but they have no concern about us. They are capable of helping us, but they have no compassion. Some people have the capacity, no compassion. Some people have compassion, but no capacity. But some people have capacity and compassion both, but they don't have the cognizance or awareness that we are in some difficulty. Unless somebody is aware that I am in difficulty, why will he come and help me? Krishna has all three. Compassion, cognizance and capacity. In other words, Krishna has the ability, has the intention and has the awareness. Ability, intention, awareness, all three Krishna has. At all times, constantly. Therefore, he is the only protector. These three words are very eloquently captured in a beautiful prayer by Gajendra, Madhrak Prapanna, which we will discuss in the evening. We will discuss the prayers of Gajendra in the evening. We are only discussing the background incidents that brought him to offer prayers in this morning session. So Gajendra was trying to protect himself and nothing is happening. So in such a predicament, Gajendra meditated. Oh, there must be somebody who has the ability to protect me. There must be someone in this world, in this entire cosmos, big cosmos, who must be having some little compassion and capacity to protect me. Who must be aware of my situation. All these people have awareness and compassion, but they have no capacity. Who has all three? Let me just offer prayers to him. How did Gajendra suddenly develop this inspiration to offer prayers to the Lord after 1,000 years of struggle? After completely getting frustrated in his attempts to get rid of this distress and embrace some kind of joy or relief, Gajendra realized that, I think I can't do it on my own. Anyatha sharanam nasti tvameva sharanam mama. No other sharanam, only you can give me sharan, sharanagati. So Gajendra is in that mood now, How did this Gajendra develop this mood of surrender, sharanagati, at this moment? Very, very important principle that we need to meditate upon to take sharanagati. In short, let me summarize it in a sentence. We take shelter of Krishna not just by our own effort. Krishna has to inspire that mood of taking shelter. Gajendra took shelter of Krishna now, ultimately. But how did he take? It is Krishna who reminded Gajendra, please take my shelter. Then Gajendra took shelter and Krishna came and protected. Match fixing. Even our intention or ability to offer prayers in a mood of surrender is a blessing of Krishna. If we don't have Krishna's blessings, if we don't have Krishna's inspiration, we cannot even walk in the direction towards Krishna. He is trying to pull us. So we are incapable and dependent in all ways on Krishna. Even one may think, yeah, he has taken great shelter of Krishna, therefore he is so dear to Krishna. No, actually, speaking, yes, our effort is there, but more than our effort, it is Krishna who is inspiring those efforts, inducing us to please walk in this direction. We were discussing right on the first day, there are multiple parts in us. One part is aspiring for sense enjoyment, one part is aspiring for name, fame, prestige, one part is meditating on the past, one part is meditating on the future, one part of us has some little good qualities of some kind of kindness and other things, but one part of us is longing for Krishna prema. That's the best part of ourselves. We said it right. Similarly, just as Atma has multiple parts, Paramatma also has multiple parts. One part of Paramatma is giving us Jnana. One part of Paramatma is giving us Smriti, remembrance. One part is giving us Apohanam, forgetfulness. But the best part of Paramatma is to inspire us to take shelter of Krishna. Dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayanti te. Paramatma sitting in the heart will act completely neutrally in the case of a conditioned soul. The conditioned soul wants to enjoy sense gratification. Paramatma says, okay, fine, do in this direction, you will get sense gratification. Prabhupada writes in the fifth canto purports, without Paramatma's sanction, we cannot enjoy sense gratification also. Even to enjoy sense gratification or rot in this material existence, we need assistance of Paramatma. Right? But why Paramatma assists in that way? Because that's our desire. He doesn't want to force. If I'm thirsty, if I ask you water and you give me water, I'll happily drink it. But if you throw this bottle at my face, below, drink. I am not very happy to receive such a forced service, right? Similarly, Krishna also is not very happy to receive any forced service. He wants voluntary service. Therefore, Krishna doesn't force us to surrender, but he inspires us to surrender. He doesn't want forced surrender, but he keeps on inspiring, pursuing. Yeah, please, please, in this direction. He tells so and so shloka of Bhagavatam, inspire this fellow, please, to take my shelter. When I read that shloka of Bhagavatam, I feel like taking shelter. Or he will inspire a devotee or an acharya, please speak something to this conditioned soul to take my shelter. So in various ways, Krishna keeps on inspiring and pursuing us because he is more interested in a relationship with us than we are interested in a relationship with him. That's the best part of Krishna. So similarly, Paramatma sitting in our heart, on one hand, in the case of a conditioned soul, he gives them smriti, jnanam, apohanam, forgetfulness, remembrance and knowledge to pursue their pending desires. But if somebody shows some little spiritual inclinations, Krishna will give them inspiration. Please take shelter of me. Dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayantite. Krishna says in the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, you please take my shelter. And I will assist you in taking my shelter. I will destroy all the ignorance in your heart. Nashayami atma bhavastho jnana dipiyana bhasvata. I studied Sarbhikund. Thousands of lamps are lit. Devotees are lighting one by one. Krishna also will lit the lamp of knowledge in our hearts and destroy the darkness of ignorance in our hearts so that we can take shelter of Krishna. That is Krishna's role as a Paramatma in the heart of a devotee. But in the heart of a typical conditioned soul, okay, he doesn't want to become a devotee, and Lord reciprocates with that mood. So in one of the previous classes, Maharaj was quoting Srila Prabhupada, somebody said in the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Ram is Lord Ramachandra. Prabhupada said, yeah, that's correct. Ram is Balaram, that's also correct. How can Balaram be with Radharani? What question? This question is correct. Then what's the conclusion? You decide. The answer, my Maharaj was saying, it's a profound answer. It's not a clever way of just making the other person keep quiet. It's a profound answer. You decide means the Lord reciprocates with your mood, with your intention, with your consciousness. Yadyad dhyata urugaya vibhavayanti tattatvapuh pranayase sadanugrahaya. The way, the mood in which we approach Krishna, in that same way he will reciprocate with us. Right? Similarly, Paramatma also, the Lord in the heart, will not just act as a neutral observer or witness of our activities. If we have some spiritual inclination to take shelter of Krishna, that Paramatma, who is a amsha of Krishna, can act as good as Krishna, as Bhagavan, when we want to take shelter of Krishna. And for a devotee, there is no difference between Paramatma and Bhagavan. Lord is the heart, is not Paramatma for him, Bhagavan only. Because he's acting in that capacity to inspire him to take shelter of Krishna. Just like externally, Krishna is standing in front of Arjuna and saying, Mami ekam sharanam vraja. And if we take that instruction seriously and we want to take shelter of Krishna, that Krishna is there in the heart as Paramatma. And that Paramatma will not act like a neutral observer or witness. He will act like Bhagavan, personality of Godhead, who will inspire, he will enhance the mood of surrender and help us take shelter of Krishna. Why? Why would Krishna do that? Because Krishna is grateful. Indradyumna Maharaj has done some service in his past life to Krishna, and Krishna is so grateful for that service. And how does Krishna express his gratitude towards a devotee? By reminding that devotee to take shelter of Krishna. Oh, this devotee has offered some patram, some pushpam, some gangajal, some tulsi leaf to me in the past life. And I am purchased by this devotee. or he did some little service knowingly or unknowingly. In reciprocation with that service, let me remind him to take my shelter so that I can go and protect him. Just like Maharaj was discussing on the first day, very first day, at Govardhan Valley. Draupadi gave one little cloth to Krishna when he cut his finger while cutting that Sitaphal fruit. in reciprocation with that, Krishna gave unlimited sari. Right? So just Draupadi completely took shelter of Krishna. So when we do some little service to Krishna, Krishna will never forget. We may forget, but Krishna will not forget. Therefore, whether we are enthusiastic or not, let's offer some leaf to Krishna, some flower to Krishna. Let's not be lazy in doing that. So that will inspire Krishna. That will be remembered by Krishna, and He will rescue us in a situation where we are completely helpless. And when, with His inspiration, if you really embrace this mode of surrender, Sharanagati, He will come and protect us. He'll be very happy and enthusiastic to come and protect us. That's what Gajendra episode is teaching us. Gratitude. In the 11th canto of Bhagavatam, Uddhava says, very beautiful shloka. He says,
Tasmad bhavantam anavadya manantaparam sarvagnam ishwaramakuntha vikuntha dhishyam nirvinna dhiraha muhe vrijina bhitapto narayanam narasakham sharanam prapadye.
The second line of the shloka, I'll not elaborate on it completely, I only have 5-6 minutes.
Sarvagnam ishwaramakuntha vikuntha dhishyam. Krishna is sarvagna. Therefore, He is Kritagna. Sarvagna means one who knows everything. Kritagna means one who is grateful for everything. Krishna is Sarvagna. He knows everything means He is completely aware of every single little service we have done for His pleasure. He remembers. So and so devotee offered me one leaf or one flower or did that service. Sarvagna is aware of our services. Therefore, He is Kritagna. He wants to reciprocate with that service by inspiring a mode of surrender within us at the right time. That's what happened to Gajendra at this moment. Samsarambhasi sambhrita brahmabhare gambhirata patraya grahena bhigrihita mugragatina kroshantamantar bhayat Dītrenādya sudarshanena vibudha klantichhida karina chinta santati ruddha muddhara hare machitta dhantishwaram.
So our mind is also like that Gajendra, who is caught up by crocodile of Maya. So just as Krishna released his Sudarshan Chakra and destroyed that crocodile and saved Gajendra, we need to request Krishna. Krishna, my mind is like that Gajendra caught up by the crocodile of Maya. Please release your Sudarshan Chakra to destroy all my distractions and let me take your shelter. We'll discuss this shloka in greater detail in the afternoon, in the evening session, but I only have 5 minutes. I think I'll stop here. So we came to the point where Gajendra took shelter of Krishna, and in that mode of surrender, Gajendra will offer prayers. And these prayers we'll discuss in the evening. Not all, some selected ones, whatever is humanly possible in the available time. Thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Maharaj, we are eager to hear your comments, your reflections.
Told the story of how Indra got so covered in the form of a pig. He was cursed to become a pig, and Maya covered him so totally and put him down in this terrible situation that when Brahma came to remind him, now it's time for you to go back. Come with me. And he didn't like to go. He was really so covered by Maya that he had forgotten entirely his position of being the king of the Devatas. And Brahma needed to slaughter all his piglets and wives and all this, so that by the shock he woke up to his position of being Indra and then wanted to go back to the heavenly planet. So, when Buddha, when Gajendra became so much identified with the Gajendra body, he could not understand it any longer, the knowledge of his previous life. So this is an example. I think you have, all of you have heard this example, that Indra became a pig and had such enjoyment as a pig that even Brahma could not convince him to return. This is our situation also. Maya can be so many, can be covering us so much, so therefore a devotee always is fearful of Maya and always prays to Krishna to please save him. You have heard also this? We become fearful to hear this. We become fearful to hear this.
Yes, we become fearful, definitely. Sometimes when the Maya covers us so much, conditioned soul does not become fearful also. That's a bigger fear, that there is no fear, of sufficient fear of Maya. Thank you so much, Maharaj, for your comments. Maharaj, you want to say anything? Hare Krishna, any other questions or comments in the last 1 minute or 2 minutes? Yes. One, two. Yeah, please ask whoever wants to ask. First, you ask. Mataji is saying, the 7th chapter Bhagavad Gita says, Artho Jignasur Artharthi Gnani Cha Bharatarshabha. So Artha Bhakta and Artharthi Bhakta approach the Lord for wealth, for relief. And once their purpose is achieved, they will leave Krishna. So, did Gajendra leave Krishna? Yes, there may be some relief seekers. They come to temple, they come to the Lord seeking relief, that's all. Mandir gaya to shanti milta hai. When I go to temple, we'll just get some shanti. They want only shanti, they don't want bhakti. Some people may leave, but fortunate artha bhaktas are those people who don't leave Krishna. They become Shuddha Bhaktas, not Artha Bhaktas. When Arti goes, Bhakti remains. Arti brought them to Bhakti, Arti left, but Bhakti remained. We'll discuss it in the evening class, where, you see, Gajendra said, "Oh Lord, I am asking you to relieve me from the jaws of this crocodile, from this difficulty." That's the initial part of his prayer. But towards the end, Gajendra says, "I don't want to live in this ignorant material body of an elephant even after you protect me." So the real release is not release from the crocodile's jaws. The real release is from release of false ego, false identification with this material body, this ignorance. "I just want to serve you." So by Krishna's grace, a Sakama Bhakta will become a Shuddha Bhakta. Sakama will go away, Bhakti will remain. But there may be some unfortunate people, they come only for that purpose and they leave. But they'll get some Sukriti, and in some future lifetime they may get connected also. Yes, Prabhu.
Yeah,
It's a 30. Okay, you can ask. I'll try to answer in
concise. So my question is, when we are in association of devotees, we get ample opportunities to uplift our consciousness. But it also gives us ample avenues to offend devotees in mind or by performing seva. So in one way we are offending them, being Vaishnava Kar, and it will take us away from holding them because we are doing Namaskar. So one way is okay, like let me be away from devotees, but that's not the way. We don't have any other option than taking shelter of devotees. So how to come out of this cycle of being in devotees, doing seva without offenses, and still progressing in bhakti?
Little difficult. Not that easy. Because every devotee around us may not be a pure devotee. And naturally there may be some shortcomings. And when we get exposed to those shortcomings, we may become a little critical, either mentally or verbally. Hopefully not physically. And that's a very, very tricky situation in the life of a sadhaka. But ultimately we need to see the intention of that sadhaka. Although at this stage of their life, at this phase of their life, they may have certain shortcomings. Probably they are not shortcomings, they are shortcomings only in my perception. But even if they are actually shortcomings also, the very fact that they have taken shelter of Krishna, they will be able to overcome those shortcomings eventually by Krishna's grace. Are their shortcomings, are our shortcomings stronger than Krishna's mercy? Krishna's mercy is stronger than all the shortcomings or flaws in a practicing devotee. To the degree their practice is sincere, our practice is sincere, to that degree we will rise above those shortcomings. And till that time, we need to have patience. We need to tolerate others' anarthas. We need to tolerate our own anarthas. But if others' anarthas are inspiring us to become victims of our own anarthas, then the whole spiritual life becomes a little tricky. It'll become very, very difficult. But these are some things that happen in a sadhaka's life, but we need to understand we should never cross boundaries. Sometimes when somebody says or does things in a certain way, it is human nature to respond to them in a certain way. But if we cross certain boundaries of respect towards them, if you lose respect for them, you may disagree with them, but you cannot disrespect them. Disagreements are common. You have a certain style of working, they have a certain style of working, you have some priorities, they have other priorities, you have a certain mood, they have a certain mood. And ultimately in the heart of the hearts, you want to serve Krishna, they also want to serve Krishna. But because of this differences in styles of functioning or natures, there could be some kind of friction. Like you see, milk, I often give this example. Milk is great nourishing food. Lemon is also very nice. It has its own health benefits. But the combination is terrible. You can't have lemon milkshake, right? You can't have, this is lemon paisam we have made, lemon kheer, or musambi kheer. You can put anjeer in the kheer, you can put cashew, kismis and all, but you cannot put lemon there, right? So, sometimes there's an incompatibility. But that incompatibility should not lead to disrespect. The disagreements should not lead to disrespect. If you become overly offensive, you know what Krishna does? This devotee, while staying in the association of these devotees, is being very offensive towards them. What will Krishna do? He will lift this devotee from there. Offensive devotee, keep them somewhere else. As you are committing too much offenses, and that is not good for your spiritual life, for a while you just stay away. That's a punishment. It can happen. So we need to tolerate to some degree. There are ways of addressing things, but all must be done in a Vaishnava way. Does it make sense, Prabhu? I request Maharaj to add some insight.
You express very nicely.
Allah, I see few hands, but it's 8:35. As Maharaj says, Giriraj dining hall is waiting for us. So yes. Let's not delay.